Welcome to the Tech Savvy Professor Podcast, two faculty who love tech and love making it part of their work. I'm Marty Gentius, an associate professor at Kent State University.
And I'm Eric Perry, clinical faculty at Southern New Hampshire University.
So we have been looking at new ideas, things to talk about that might be a little more relevant. I mean, I like doing the general stuff. I really do. I kind of prefer it than the profession-specific material, but this might be a little profession-specific. But for those of you who listen who aren't in the profession, you find some interest in this podcast, I think, anyways. But the problem we want to talk about today is managing information around our internship and practicum data, the stuff that our students, when they're at counseling sites, how do they collect hours? How do they manage their hours? And what's the process and what are the different kinds of things that people can use? And I told Eric, I said, this one's all you. This one's on you, Eric.
And even after practicum and internship, a lot of these softwares help to manage those postgraduate hours right. that you need for licensure. So, you know, and it's not just specific to our programs, counselor education programs, but other programs too, like nursing, who may have the same types of clinical experience requirements. You know, we did a feasibility study at my institution not too long ago and looked at a lot of different softwares to use. And, you know, it was interesting because coming from a start in this field and doing things on paper, paper forms, paper tracking,
right.
You know, students thought it was amazing when they could scan and email it to me instead of sending it like snail mail, you know?
Well, tools. It's also the context of your program. You're working in a distance ed programs. And so, yeah, being able to not have to mail something like we did in the old correspondence course programs. I remember sitting in an office at the University of South Carolina and was there for some reason to meet somebody and sat out in the lobby waiting. And there was like mailboxes full of real small mailboxes with stuffed in it. And it was just so many mailboxes for the building. I was like, what is that? So I asked somebody, I said, what is that? And they go, oh, that's papers for our students to drop off or pick up for the correspondence course. And I thought, oh, yeah, that makes sense. You know, with my history, I haven't done a lot of clinical work interface with the program, but I do know we started with those, with the clinical forms that were filled out by hand. Because, you know, we were all paranoid that some other program would steal our excellent forms. So they were all in PDF or all printed out, not in revisable form. And those were used for collecting hours, for signing up for everything that we did in terms of workflow. And eventually somebody put them into Excel spreadsheets. And from that, we were able to get our data for accreditation and other things. But that's the extent of the early years for me, knowing that process existed even before revisable forms or revisable PDFs. We had solid paper forms that people had to fill out and put things in. Now, I feel like I'm talking like a Cro-Magnon man. I haven't been around that long, and it hasn't been that long that we've made this shift. But now we're into, and I'm sure you'll talk about Tavera at some point. If you don't, I'll try to add my pieces in. But now it's all managed electronically over the internet, and it's for students, it's for faculty, it's for site supervisors. It's everything is set up and managed that way into a collective database. So this is where I kind of turn it over to you in terms of you have some ideas of history and what different types of programs have been used.
So I remember one of my first employments in higher ed, I was coordinating a school counseling and clinical program. So there were times where I had to look up a student's schedule and then find them in class and go down to the hall to the classroom, interrupt, get the student and ask them to hand me the forms because they were behind deadlines, right? The tools that we have now are just getting better and better. But they're very different in some of the capabilities and some of the user experiences. So I wanted to talk about a couple of those, both that I've used and that I've taken a look at. I know there's a lot of programs now that handle things with Google Forms and through G Suite and manage that way. But that also means you have to be able to put your data together on your own. You can do some things with Google Sheets or Excel, but a lot of these programs offer you the opportunity to do that. I'll start with Tavera. Definitely one of my favorites for user experience because it's web-based, it's easy. You know, it really walks you through things in a way that makes sense. The faculty end is a little bit more complicated, but not overly so. It can be managed pretty easily, and there's a lot of features in there for reminders, customization of forms, data tracking and requirements. And one of the things that you want to make sure that the software does, in addition to tracking hours, connecting with faculty supervisors and site supervisors, is that it provides you with some ability to track student development over time. And, you know, Tavera offers that. So you can rate students' performance and experience throughout skills courses and show that development over time that's a K-prep requirement. So it helps with that assessment piece. The other one I've used quite extensively is Sonia. And Sonia has actually only been around for, you know, 6 or 7 years maybe, and started out primarily with nursing. It is complicated from an administrative perspective. Building things feels like doing things in Access, if you've ever done that. It's not user-friendly, especially on the faculty and the development side. What I do like about Sonia is everything is customizable. So there's no limitations. You're not bound kind of by what the system lets you do. You can develop forms and track data over time and create this kind of in any way you want. Whereas Tavera can limit you to the types and ways that they feel like you should collect things.
My sense of Tavera, and I'm a faculty member who has to use it, is, and if you follow the chatter on listservs, folks will either love it or hate it. And mm-hmm. I've got the feeling it's a matter of like getting a recipe. If you leave something out of the recipe, then the end result is not going to be pleasant for you. And it takes a while for us to figure out what needs to go into the recipe and how to season it and the process in which you cook things and how long you cook certain parts of things in order to make it work. But once you get the perfect recipe, then it works for you. And a lot of the folks who are like, oh, I don't like it, blah, 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 it's terrible. I don't think they've gotten their recipe right yet. But then there are folks that just love it because they've got the recipe right for what they're doing.
I would agree. I think because Tavera kind of sets things up in a way that's more formulaic, whereas something like Sonia gives you the option to just develop it however you want. All those pieces need to be in place for it to kind of function properly. But I would say the end user experience, especially for students and site supervisors on Tavera, is much easier to navigate than something like Sonia, which gives you more customization options. Some things I wanted to mention that folks might be looking at that I've seen demos on, haven't used, or that we decided not to go with as an end result, are Time to Track, Chalk and Wire. There's another one called In Place. And some of these are TK20, that's the other one. They're all of these are kind of taking existing softwares that are used for something else and modifying them to fit the needs of this kind of task or process. So they don't feel like as if they're developed specifically for this. IPT is another one. I think it's intern placement tracking is another one that is out there and is available, but it's a very limited function kind of tool. But for the most part, you feel like these things are kind of adapted to suit these needs rather than built directly for them. My suggestion, if you're taking a look at these things, if you're starting a program or you want to move into something that's going to help you track, there are some app-based options with some of these. Time to Track has an app that students and site supervisors can use. Whether or not you can include that data tracking in terms of performance, it's not just hours, but really getting that assessment data that you need over time, making sure that that's part of it. And then another thing that I like about Sonia and Tavera is that you can include site supervisor training, opportunities for CEUs and development that you need to supply for your sites. You can run and track through those softwares, whereas that's not always something that fits well with some of the others. So that's kind of been my experience, and I wanted to throw some names out there for those who might just be getting started.
So all of these have certain amount of startup. I can't speak to the fees or costs for starting up the program. I do know that with Tavera, we were able to talk about the number of students that we had, and having that number of students on Tavera by a certain date in order to allow us to have a reduced cost in the process. So the burden sort of goes back on the students for this, and you have to sell the benefits of it. It's not only a benefit to the program because it releases us from being tied down to paperwork once all the forms are ready, but it's also a benefit for the student because anytime, it's a lifetime arrangement with them. Anytime a student needs to get their clinical records or their background, if they're and their experience, if they're going from state to state for licensure purposes, they can pull that information down from Tavera. So you sort of sell it as a personal records database for you that professionals will use throughout their career.
Well, and I think it's a really good signal for you to see that any of these are offering a per user cost. That's what you should see, not an overall fee, not a subscription. It should be a user cost. And there should be some definition as to what that means. So if you enter a student, for example, at the beginning of their program as a user, and you're just tracking kind of performance data and not practicum and internship data, when do they consider that student a user, and when do they bill you accordingly? So that, because that can be negotiated. And the more students you have, the cheaper per student the cost is. So you have some ability to negotiate there about when they're counted as a student or a user. And then, you know, depending on your enrollment and how large your program is, you have more kind of power to negotiate that cost on behalf of the student in the program. But you're right, Marty, it's something that you really do need to sell to the student. It needs to be a good experience. And your site supervisors, who you want positive relationships with to continue to have those sites on board, they need to have a good experience with the software too. IT support for both Tavera and Sonia has been great. In my experience, having used both of those directly, really responsive, really easy kind of solutions. They'll walk you through, they'll remote on and speak with you, take a look at the system, especially from the admin side. So that experience has been really positive with both of those. But that's something I'd ask about too. What does that support look like? Is this something that I have to institutionally support with IT, or do you provide me with the support I need?
You know, the other thing I'm aware of too was that the onboarding process for this went in steps or stages. So, you know, there were certain things. It was like, we decided we're going to do the master's program first, and we were going to focus just on getting the forms together and getting them online through Tavera, which is the system that we use, and getting those forms on just to collect internship hours. Mm-hmm. Then we had to go to the next step, which were other forms. Now, I believe there was a time, because I was part of this, where the onboarding from Tavera's site was, send us every form you use. But we had to decide which ones we were going to prioritize to start with to get used to the system before we could switch over completely to the system. And, you know, it was progressively. This month we had these forms ready to go on Tavera. The next month we had these additional forms ready to go on Tavera. So it's a staged process. And at least for us, it was a staged process. Do you have any experience or reaction with that?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's two different ways this usually happens. And the first is that you get the the tool and you develop the forms and the process and kind of the workflow yourself. So that's how Sonia tends to work. They're like, here's the resources, here's how you develop everything, go. And you kind of need to stage that out yourself. Tavera provides some more resources in terms of developing and creating those forms for you from your existing structure. So they'll help set up with that. There's kind of an in-between with some of those where they have templates ready that you can use or modify and put in. But I think the most important part of this is to consider your entire workflow and what that's going to look like and how you're going to step it out, because it does take time to put all these things together and to make sure that it flows in a way that makes sense. So when you take a look at your program beginning to end, the kind of student life cycle throughout the program, what their touch points and contacts are, what those assessment points are, and then where they're tracking their hours, and then beyond how they access the system and what that looks like. So you have to, there's a lot of planning that goes into it, and the levels of support really do vary. And I hear a difference of opinion in that all the time from folks that have used either or, just saying, you know, I like to have that control. I like to be able to do it myself and make sure that things are the way I want it, or I really don't want to fool with this. You may need someone who's dedicated to supporting that system and making those changes, which means a higher administrative cost with something like Sonia than Tavera. So just because it's cheaper doesn't necessarily mean that it's better when you look at the resources you're going to need to manage it.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that with in the same sort of logic when we talked about learning systems, online learning systems. You can get Moodle and it's nice and cheap, but you need to have the on-site support to be able to produce it direct. And then there are other systems like Canva and other ones that we spoke about where it's all set up, it's packaged, it's ready to go. And you still need that on-site support, but you don't need it in terms of the development that you needed with other types of platforms. So that has to be figured in to your process. I'll tell you one story, and then maybe it will lead into some reactions or reflections from your experience. We had been using paper forms, and one of the problems we discovered with paper forms in terms of clocking hours and then clocking, here's the weekly hour, here's the accumulated hour, here's the goal towards total. Students can't do math. And so we had one faculty member that was like constantly correcting the math on students' logs. They can't do math. And so she decided, okay, I've had enough of this. I'm just going to take this form and put it in a spreadsheet format that will do the math for them. So that's a roundabout. And she used that for quite a while until we switched over to an automated system and nobody has to do the math anymore. So my question is, how do students react to this? How do site supervisors react to these systems, and how does faculty react to the system?
I think it does vary. I think there is some comfort in knowing that the math is right. And there's dashboards that you can look at. You can quickly pull reports and information, especially somebody who's really focused on the data end of things, I think really likes having this. And if you're in charge of coordination for field work, or a part of that process, it's much easier to see where you're at and what's missing. You're able to incorporate things like checks to know what a student's done and whether they've hit benchmarks. It'll send reminders. It takes a lot of the legwork out for you in terms of determining where every student is, what they need, and when they need to be contacted. So a lot of that you can set up. I think from a fieldwork management perspective, they're immensely useful tools. The user experience for students and site supervisors and then faculty day to day can vary. It depends a lot on how you set this up. And like you said, with the recipe example earlier, do you have every ingredient to make the cake here? And that means a really good workflow, a really good functioning kind of life cycle for that student to use and interact with the system. And then what types of automation you include within that makes the lives of everyone easier. I know a lot of students who'll groan and, oh, I got to log in, I got to do this again, you know, and it just, it is another thing to do, another system to access, another system to learn. So I think your resources and tools to support it have to be there as well. So we have instructional videos, we have guides, we have all these kind of resources that we can hand out that step-by-step walk you through what's important to you. So we have a student manual, faculty manual, fieldwork manual, site supervisor manual, and then videos and media that go along with that. So the more support you provide and that you're able to provide to students, faculty, and site supervisors, the easier I think it is to acclimate.
Yeah, the other piece that I know, and these are the added goodies that we've put into our system and many programs do, and it's the reason I think many programs move towards this, at least in the counseling profession, is accreditation standards and key performance indicators, or KPIs as we refer to them in shorthand. And we're able to, for each class go that we teach each semester, go in and rate students based on the accomplishments around KPIs, which then become data that we can use towards informing our accrediting body and also informing what changes need to occur in our programs. So that extra added layer beyond the field work stuff has been very useful for faculty.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of that you can set up again throughout the process and be able to pull that data whenever you need it. So for those kind of mid-cycle reports or just looking year to year, what needs changed, what needs updated, or where there might need to be additional support for students in terms of growth and development throughout the program, you can pull those relatively easily once you have them set up and ready to go.
Any other additional things you want to say about these kinds of internship fieldwork systems?
Yeah, I know feasibility study sounds like a terrible thing. Like, it sounds like an awful process. It's long. It can be tedious. You have to set up demos, look at things, look at pricing, and have all these kind of criteria laid out. The more time you spend on the front end preparing yourself for what it is that you want and what decision you want to make, what your budget looks like, the easier it will be when it comes time to select and implement. So workflow is really, really important. Understanding what it is you're getting yourself into and how it's going to be helpful. You don't want to create more work for yourself than is going to be helpful. So make sure the support and resources and cost all make sense before you jump into a contract. That's my biggest piece of advice.
Yeah, we were really lucky in the sense that I came back from a couple of KCREP visits and had heard about the Tavera platform and suggested that our program look at it. And then we had to look at the startup cost. And I say we were lucky because we presented our needs to the dean and the dean said, okay, sounds logical. Let's move you into the 21st century and I'll put the upfront money that's needed to get this thing started. And I don't think the programs necessarily and institutions have that kind of luxury. So we went into it pretty quickly, although we had spent some time with them trying to find out more about the product. And they spent time with us trying to tell us about the product and training us on the product even before we got into the agreement with them. So we were very lucky. And I have to say that's not going to be the case for a lot of institutions who might still be doing things. And it doesn't say it's not effective on paper and spreadsheets, but it sure is. It adds a lot to the one's workload, and it saves some money. It adds a lot to one's workload, but it doesn't. The outcomes are often very similar. Well, this is the time of year I go through this process of changing my email client every couple of months, trying to find the perfect email client that will take emails and move them into actual workflows for me, or at least reminders that I can put on my calendar and have it in this complicated system that I have set up. And so I'm constantly jumping from one client to another, hoping to find Xanadu with an email. That would be a great name for an email client, actually, Xanadu.
I like it. It's marketable for sure.
And so next time we're going to talk about email clients, just simply the things that we use and that we've had experience using in terms of email. And then maybe that'll lead into a larger discussion about how does that, in other episodes, how does that fit into workflow? How do we get things out of email and into a to-do list or whatever we do in that process? So we're looking forward to doing those episodes and future episodes. This is our 25th episode that you're listening to. So I think we've got some momentum going. How can you get involved? Well, if you've got a tech question, if you're trying to figure out how to do something with technology, or you have an idea to share, you can email us at thepodtalk.network@gmail.com or call and leave us a message at 330-333-1240. And we'll play your question in the podcast and try to get an answer for you. Our bumper music is from Philip Gross, Rast, from the Free Music Archive. That's it for today's show. Thanks for subscribing to the Tech Savvy Professor podcast. Everything you need to know is at techsavvyprofessor.net. You can find us by searching for Apple Podcasts for the Tech Savvy Professor. Look for us on Spotify, TuneIn, Google Play Music, and other sources where you get your podcasts. Look for our other shows like the Circular Firing Squad on thepodtalk.net. Thanks for listening to the Tech Savvy Professor.